Today we continue our mini sermon series entitled Intentionality. Sabbath, solitude, silence, and simplicity. Last week we talked about intentional Sabbath rest, in which we discussed the need to include a Sabbath rest in our daily schedules and routines for worship, renewal, and rejuvenation. But today we move on and explore a subject that I've entitled Practicing Solitude. Practicing Solitude. We are going to use Jesus' example of practicing solitude as our illustration. An illustration for us to emulate. So if you have your Bible this morning, could you quickly please come with me to Luke and chapter 5. The Gospel according to Luke and chapter 5. We are going to read verses 15 to 16 and then move on to Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, and then end with Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 23, two verses apiece. So if you found Luke chapter 5, could you please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word? Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. Yet the news about him being Jesus, spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spend the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, verse 23 says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, all by himself with God. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. Eternal God, we pause. We pause to hear your voice, to receive from you, even as the word is being preached. And our desire is that you may open our eyes to see revelation in your word, our ears to listen to the gentle voice of the Spirit. And may that word be driven straight to our hearts. May we be changed from glory to glory and from one level of grace to the other. I pray for your fresh anointing, ease of speech, and clarity of thought. Because we ask it in a marvelous, mighty name of Jesus. And somebody said, Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Long time ago, before refrigerators were invented, people used ice houses to preserve their food. During winter, people cut large blocks of ice from the frozen lakes and streams, a practice known as ice harvesting. They hauled them to the ice houses and covered them with sawdust so the ice wouldn't melt. The story is told of one man who lost a valuable watch while working in an ice house. He searched diligently for it by carefully ranking through the sawdust, but he didn't find it. Other people also looked for the watch, but they didn't find it either. One day, a small boy slipped into the ice house during the noon hour. After a few minutes, he came back out with the watch in his hand. Amazed, the man asked the boy how he found the watch. It was simple, the boy replied. I just closed the door, lay down in solitude, in the sawdust, and kept very still. And soon I heard the watch ticking. And that's how I found the watch. So like an ice house, often life is so chaotic, busy, and noisy that it becomes hard to find time to practice solitude and just listen to God's gentle voice. But despite the busyness of life and ministry, Jesus often secluded himself so that he could commune intimately with the Father. No matter how busy he was with his disciples, he secluded himself in order to minister to God and to receive ministry from the Father. As one pastor says, it's how Jesus began his ministry. It's how he made important decisions. It's how he dealt with troubling emotions like grief. It's how he dealt with the constant demands of ministry. And that's how he cared for his soul. It's how he taught his disciples. It's how he prepared for important ministry events. It's how he prepared for his death on the cross. Kenyo Travis writes, "The importance of solitude in the life of Jesus and his disciples is undeniable. Jesus made a habit of withdrawing, sometimes abruptly, from the crowds and his ministry of doing his Father's will to the hills or a desolate place or the wilderness or a high mountainside or to the seashore or to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus loved people, but he sometimes withdrew from ministering to crowds to protect his emotional health and keep his relationship with the Father fresh through prayer." Luke chapter 5, verse 15 to 16, which we just read, says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Before he started his ministry, he often went to be alone and talk to the Father. Mark says, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 23, which we just read again, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone." Before one of the biggest decisions of his life, Jesus chose to spend extended time alone with the Father. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside again to pray and spend the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. He also took time to mourn in solitude." Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 says, "When Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place, this time to grieve, but I believe he was also praying. He also went to be alone in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray the night before his death." And we find that in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46. Now, since Jesus is our example, he is our illustration of solitude, he invites us to join him in practicing solitude by emulating him. Emulating him means you don't have to go on top of the mountain to pray. You don't have to worship God on top of that mountain or in a valley. You don't have to wake up very early in the morning like Jesus did. If you are like me, I love sleep. If I wake up too early in the morning like he did, that's not good. Okay? The whole day is spoiled. I need my 8 hours of sleep. But the thing is, Jesus invites all of us to emulate him by finding time of solitude. Why? So that we can know Abba Father and intimately experience his love, so we could minister to others with the same measure of love, faith, and comfort. You see, Jesus did not want to minister from an empty tank. He always wanted to spend time with his Father and receive ministry before he went out to minister to others. Today, most of us go out there to minister to others before we allow God to minister to us. No wonder ministry is so frustrating for you, because you are doing it in your strength, not with Jesus. He always sought the will of the Father, the strength from the Father for him to go out and minister. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret." In other words, spend time practicing solitude in your life and talk to your Father in prayer. So, in our study, we would dare to answer three questions. What is solitude? Why practice solitude? How do we practice solitude? So, to begin with, what is solitude? As one commentator says, solitude doesn't have to mean withdrawing from civilization and living life as a loner in a cabin somewhere in the mountains or a cave. It doesn't mean going off the grid. But it does mean being able to be alone from time to time. Often, in solitude, we wish for a time and place for ourselves in which we are not bothered by other people. We wish for a time to turn away from human interaction and external stimuli, from the noises and stresses of life, including people. We think of solitude as a station where we can recharge our batteries and gather new strength. But the fact is, it is more than that. Solitude is a discipline that causes us to consciously pull away from everything else in our lives, including the company of other people, including friends and family, for the purpose of giving our full and undivided attention to God. For the purpose of giving our full and undivided attention to God. Simply stated, it is an intentional seclusion from all that seeks our attention in order to give full attention to God in seeking His face. Remember, I said, "Seek me when I can be found, and if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." Practicing solitude involves private prayer and worship. But instead of doing all the talking, we stop to listen. To listen to the gentle voice of the Spirit and to wait on God. This means we still ourselves to hear. To hear what God is saying to the churches. This is about our willingness to be examined, to be purged by God, to hear His voice and get closer to Him in total surrender and abandonment. Total surrender and abandonment. Some people are so community-oriented that they are scared of being alone. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, Life Together, writes, "Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. Let him who is not in community beware of being alone. Each by itself has profound pitfalls and perils. One who wants fellowship without solitude plunges into the void of words and feelings. And one who seeks solitude without feeling, without fellowship, perishes in the abyss of vanity, self-infatuation, and despair. Saints, while community is important, we ought to maintain a healthy balance between solitude and community. Our culture seems to esteem community more than solitude, but it is only in moments of solitude that we can cultivate a meaningful relationship with God and find wholeness, healing, clarity, and purpose. Which brings us to our second question. So why should we practice solitude? We practice solitude first of all to meet our Lord and be with him, just as he himself practiced solitude to be with his Father. Our primary task in solitude, therefore, is to keep the eyes of our heart and mind on Jesus, to cultivate an intimate relationship with him. In order to do so, we will need to spend time away from people and alone with God. One pastor says, in the spiritual discipline of solitude, we purposefully abstain from interaction with other human beings and all that comes with interaction with others. We intentionally isolate ourselves away from the experience of being with others by going to our prayer closets, the ocean, the wilderness, the desert, the lake, or the mountain to experience aloneness with God, or the park, like that lady is doing right there. Henry Nouwen once said, without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. Why? Because solitude is the spiritual discipline of voluntarily and temporarily withdrawing to privacy for spiritual purposes, renewal, revival, refreshment, restoration, empowerment, rejuvenation, and prayer. Being alone with God feeds our relationship with him. It revitalizes our spirit and recenters our lives. It clears our mind to listen to God in prayer. Only in this context of grace can we honestly face our sin, our fears, and our false self. Which brings us to our last question. How do we practice solitude? I'm glad you asked. One blogger says, the normal way to practice solitude is to get alone with God, to be quiet in a quiet place for some hours or even days. When is the last time you spent an hour alone? Or even days alone or by yourself? I mean alone with God. So you could take a prayer walk if you want to practice solitude. It doesn't have to be an hour. It can be a few minutes, 5 minutes, 15, 20, 30. You could take a prayer walk on a nature trail. Sit beside a lake, a river, or waterfall. You could find a quiet spot in a park. Like earlier mentioned, you can find a place in your backyard, or you can even go on a hike. Even a secluded chair inside your house can work, inside or outside. It can work as long as your cell phone and media devices are turned off or put on silence or left somewhere in the house where you can't hear them beeping or calling for your attention. Jesus challenges his disciples to pray in a closet. That may be the only place in your life where you can find some peace and solitude and be silent and still before God. I have heard of moms that hid away from their kids in the closet so they can just have a me time. Dallas Willard wrote, "Practicing solitude is the most important spiritual discipline for those seeking to develop an intimate relationship with God. In our busy, noisy world, we need to unhook and get away in order to be alone and be ourselves or be by ourselves with the Lord." And that makes it intentional. So it's not going to happen like magic. You need to be intentional about it. You need to plan this. You need to look forward to this every day. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Life is so busy. And before you know it, it's time to go to bed. It's too late. You're so tired. You can't even concentrate. So seek at least a few minutes of time alone with God daily. And seek some extended times occasionally. Seek solitude for the sake of your soul. How many know that God doesn't need solitude? You need solitude. If you're like most people, practicing solitude with God won't consistently occur without being intentional. But it's a pursuit worth a discipline. So when will you start practicing solitude? When will you act on this message? The best time to start practicing this message is today. Because one, most of us are off work. You're not going to work after the service. You can carve out 30 minutes today and begin to practice solitude. It may not be perfect, but at least you have begun to put this message into practice. And remember, all this is a work of grace. It's not legalism, it's grace. God knows your heart. If you are 5 minutes or 30 minutes, he knows your heart. And he knows you are weak and full of infirmities. And he will bless you, even though it's tough to do it. I hope and trust that landed for you. Let's pray together. Could you please rise to your feet? God, our eternal Father, we thank you that you are such a loving God. Your desire is that we grow in our intimacy with you, and that we may become established and strengthened by your presence, even as we carve out time to be with you in solitude, in prayer. Our prayer and our desire is that you may continue to draw us closer and closer to yourself. Invite us by your Spirit. Convict us by your Spirit to make this discipline of being with you in solitude a part of our busy schedules and routines. Our prayer is that this word will bear much fruit in our lives and will not return to the void. It will change and transform us into the image and life of Jesus so that we can please you. You said, "Jesus is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." May you be pleased in us as well. As we part company, we ask that you may go before each one of us. In the marvelous, mighty, worthy name of Jesus. And somebody in house said amen.